How often have you prayed about something in your life? And have you wondered, is anyone listening? God, are you there? How many of you identify with that sense and frustration and emotion? I want us to discover as we journey through this series on empowered, praying prayers that work, for us to understand what God means by the whole concept of prayer. And not a concept of prayer that has evolved out of what people and sometimes false approach to scripture or wrong approach to scripture has created a understanding of prayer sometimes that is very far from what Jesus showed for us it to be and from what the Bible teaches us prayer is about. And so we have ended up with this cocktail of an understanding of prayer. And I want to demystify and come back to the core of what the Bible teaches us and what Jesus taught us about prayer. And if we pray like Jesus did, I think we're doing pretty well, don't you? You know, we're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer. If you're brought up in a good Christian home, your parents would have taught that to you. If you weren't brought up in a good Christian's home, I trust you know the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a prescription that Jesus gave to his disciples and to us and to the entire believing population of believers. Is a prescription, a method by which he was teaching us to pray. It was never meant to be a mantra. It is good that we learn and memorize scripture. It is right that we must know Bibles and verses and where they sit in the Bible. But the Lord's Prayer somehow has become a bit of a mantra for us. If I've said the Lord's Prayer, I have prayed. No, all you've done is said the Lord's Prayer. So it is not a mantra, but it is a prescription or a method that Jesus gave us to communicate with God. So what is the Lord's Prayer? It is not a mantra, but it is a method. There are so many different versions of the Bible, and I love the Message Bible and how it introduces us to the Lord's Prayer. And I want to read that for you right now. It says, "The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They are full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes." I love this translation of the Lord's Prayer because it simplifies and demystifies the old King James Version of what most of us know the Lord's Prayer to be. Each one of them is vitally important, whatever version it is God's Word. But I love how simply the Message Bible puts it to us. And I want us to understand the simplicity of prayer. The most basic definition of prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not just meditation or passive reflection. It is directly addressing the creator of this world. It is communication of the human soul, the person, with the Creator. That's amazing. And prayer is one of the key, primary ways that you as a believer can talk to your God. Now, how many of us spend hours talking to our friends and our neighbors and our uncles and our aunts, and however you communicate, whether it's on WhatsApp or whatever, you talk to people. But how much of that time is spent focusing on talking to the Creator, who has the power to change anything and everything in your life? Isn't it sad how life has somehow preconditioned us not to respond or to connect with the source for our resources? We'd rather look sometimes to people and circumstances and situations to find the answers to the things that really only God can give us an answer to. So prayer is about communicating our thoughts, our will, our emotions, understanding the mind of God, getting to know God and developing a relationship with Him through conversation with God. For some of us, we see prayer as a ritualistic duty that we have to do. I have to pray for X number of hours, because if I don't, I have not communicated with God. It's not a ritualistic duty. It is not a practice. It is life. I want us to understand that prayer is the very breath of a believer's life. I remember there was a guy that came to our church in the early days in Mumbai, in Hume Church, and I've never forgotten this guy as he stood on the pulpit and he taught about prayer. And he had a very strange way of communicating. He had his eyes closed and he was a long haired, for that time, very trendy, artsy person. And he spoke endlessly on prayer. And I remember him talking about, with his eyes closed, how he'd wake up at 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. and he would spend time in the presence of God and he wouldn't do anything until this and that. And as I sat there listening to him, I began to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. Oh my God, me, unworthy person. I don't even spend 5 minutes communicating. And here's this guy waking up at 3, 4 o'clock. I've got to wake up at 3, 4 o'clock. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to. And I walked away, not feeling encouraged to pray, but demotivated, looking at my own prayer life and thinking, boy, I am never going to make that 3 a.m. prayer time. I've soon learned that there must be the discipline of prayer where we set time aside. But I've also understood in my relationship with God that prayer is the very breath of my life. The Bible teaches us, encourages us to pray without ceasing. And so what do? We go live in a monastery, pull ourselves away from the world, and chant God's word endlessly and tirelessly, because we are seeking the face of God. Now, it is not wrong for us to spend time away from the chaos of life. But surely God never intended for us to do that. We never see Jesus saying, sorry, I'm going to be missing for a few days, a few months, a few years. I'm taking time out to seek the face of God and I'll come back in a while. No, in His everyday life, He was always in communication with God. And there were times where He would step aside and just spend time exclusively in prayer with God. Amen? So prayer is the breath of your life. And imagine this balloon to be you. It is flat and placid. It has no life. And this is kind of you at the end of a day, a very hard day, where you feel like the air has come out of your life. And for many believers, a lot of our life is kind of like this. We're just about making it through. But I want to suggest to you that you can live your life very differently when you understand the true concept of prayer being the very breath of a believer's life. And every time you pray, when you are in communication with God every day of your life, you are filling your life with the breath of God. Amen? In your life. It's prayer brings life. All of a sudden that dead, flaccid balloon is now full of life and vibrancy, isn't it? I want you to know that every moment of your day, whatever you are doing, you can communicate with your Creator. Amen? I think my most intimate prayer times is when I am horizontal in the most comfortable position in my bed, with the pillow nicely nestled under my head, me hugging this long 6-foot pillow that I've got, and my mind is on. Those are the most intimate times that I have with God. I'm sorry to confess that as your pastor. It is not when I'm dressed up with a Bible in front of me seeking the face of God. It is when I'm most comfortable. Sometimes at 2 a.m., sometimes, you know, in the middle of the night, I can just lose myself in God's presence. And there are other times in the busyness of life when things are challenging and things aren't going the way I want them to. I'm crying out under my breath, God, where are you? God, work something through. God, I need to see you come through. But I'm still doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can we learn to make prayer the very essence and the breath of everything that we do? I'm not saying that we do not spend time aside, but I'm saying this must be our starting point. I want you to understand, if this balloon represents your life and every breath of it represents the prayers that you make, it fills you with the glory and the presence and the goodness and the grace of God. And then what happens to a good believer? Along comes the Holy Spirit, and His anointing lifts you up and enables you to soar and do the things that God wants you to do every day of your life. Amen. And sometimes, even when we feel like this, He's still there. His presence is ever with us. Like we learned today, it's acknowledging the presence of God in our life. Prayer is like breathing. Can you breathe in for me? Breathe out. That's what prayer is. It's so simple. And when Jesus taught us to pray, He gave us a simple prescription. He said, acknowledge God, that He is the source of your life and the very source of every breath that you have. The Bible reminds us that it is by Jesus Christ that this world is kept together. Our lives are, you are still living today, you still have breath because God has ordained that. And so acknowledge Him in your daily life. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I acknowledge you. I know who you are. Set the world right, Lord. Help my world today to be the way it should be. Help me to bring godly discipline into my life. Let me do what's best. As above, so below. What is that? Us understanding God's will and purpose for our lives and living it through a life of prayer. You want to understand God's will and purpose for your life? What should you do? You need to go to God's Word and see what He says. You need to know what to do about somebody who hates you. You don't need prayer. It's already revealed. What do you need to do when somebody hates you? Forgive them and love them back. What do you need to do when somebody robs you? When they take your cloak, give them your shirt as well. It is already revealed in God's Word. So much of what we need to do, that we fool ourselves and we want to seek the face of God. Well, He's already revealed Himself to you. Just open up your eyes to see. And so I want us, as we journey in this journey of prayer this month for us to really revolutionize our understanding of what it means to pray. Where we move away from ritualistic, dutiful approach to prayer to where prayer becomes life-giving and radically transforms every minute of your day, whether you are awake or asleep. Amen. When we pray, we come to God in faith. When we pray, we come to Him in Jesus' name. When we pray, we come to Him with reverence and humility. When we pray, we come to Him with perseverance and an attitude of never giving up. When we pray, we come with an attitude of complete and utter submission and surrender to the will of God. And let me say this here. I have been in church long enough and I've been around Christians long enough. And I've discovered that we feel that we can manipulate God by praying. We feel that we can twist the arm of God, the creator of this world, to perform our will according to our ways and our plans. And let me tell you, that is a lot of wasted hours of prayer meetings and prayer circles and prayer trios and prayer duets. If you are not praying the will of God, if you're not seeking to live the way of God, and if you do not understand the mind of God, then let me tell you, your prayer life is far from what Jesus intended it to be. And if Jesus said, this is how we should pray, if He gave us that simple prescription, let us follow that simple prescription of prayer in our everyday life. So we see with perseverance, there is that submission to God's will. But prayer is also beseeching God, coming before God and petitioning Him and asking Him sometimes to act on your behalf or to intervene. And to each of these, there are different approaches of prayer. There's also prayer which is the pouring out of your soul, an emotion when you're distraught or you're going through challenges and difficulties, just coming before God and laying your concerns bare before Him. And so often we see David saying, I'm weary and tiry, but Lord, You are my strength, my refuge, my help in times of trouble. He acknowledges that without God that he can do nothing. Prayer is about coming in an attitude of kneeling, physical kneeling, but also, I believe, kneeling in our spirit, where we surrender to God and submit our lives to Him. One thing prayer is not, is emptying our minds. Prayer is not a meditative process where we empty our minds of everything and wait to hear from God. If you want to hear from God, where do you need to go? To His Word. Amen. If you want to listen to God, you've got to read His Word. Because His Word will speak to you. Amen. The most sure way to know God is speaking to you is when you read His Word and His Word speaks to you. Amen. So I want to encourage us in this very simple foundation that I've laid for us on prayer, that we would learn that prayer is the very breath of your life. Move away from the ritualistic, dutiful approach perhaps that many of us have to prayer and say, you know what? I'm going to live my whole life constantly aware that God is with me and that I can talk to Him at every moment in whatever circumstance or situation I'm in. Amen. Do you ever find a soldier that's armed for battle when he sees the enemy says, hold on a minute, I'm coming back. Just hold on, okay? Hold on. I'm just going to go into my closet. I'm going to
check my rifle is working, and then I'm going to come out to war.
He's not going to survive. He's always ready. He's always prepared. And whatever opportunity is, he knows what he needs to do. And he knows how he needs to respond to the challenges of life.
Amen.
But every soldier is under the command of a commander. And he acts under the command of that commander. We must never feel that we are independent of God. He is our supreme authority. And our lives are supremely submitted to him. And sovereignly submitted to him. Amen. And so when we pray and whatever we do is in, out of submission to our Father in heaven. Which is why Jesus said, when you pray, acknowledge our Father who art in heaven. Your position. You position yourself right to pray right. Amen. Too often, I'm not saying it's wrong for us to pray for one another. It's very biblical. I'm going to be teaching about that. And this month, we're going to teach you how to minister in the Holy Spirit as well. But our port of call, first port of call, and always must be our Father who is in heaven. Amen. And the presence of God that is here on earth with us.